Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Today, we're going to focus in on this idea, and I've entitled today's message, Thirsty. Thirsty. Anybody thirsty right now? Anybody thirsty? Okay, well, we'll be done in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. But thirsty. I want us to begin by looking together to Psalm 42. I love this psalm and the declaration that the writer declares. They say this, Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." I want you to think about that picture. The writer here is describing this deer that has gone on this journey, and it's been running, and now it finds itself at this place of desperation. It's searching for that drink so that somehow the thirst could be quenched. And the psalmist uses this beautiful metaphor. As the deer longs for that stream of water, so my soul longs for you. Goes on. I thirst for God. Can you say thirst? I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Maybe when you hear these words, you can remember a time in your life where you felt like those were the own cry of your heart. Where you said, man, I can't wait to go and spend time with Jesus. Maybe you felt that longing to wake up early in the morning. Maybe you felt that desire saying, man, I can't wait to get to church and get together with other followers of Jesus. But how many of us recognize there's times that maybe we don't always feel that way? But the reality is, I think all of us in our humanity, we understand the dynamic of what it is to be thirsty, don't we? In fact, one of the things that I've learned in life is that thirst seems to show up again and again and again. You know, as a parent of three kids, it's always interesting to me when they request water. Have you noticed this? It's not 15 minutes before bed. It's after they've been tucked in. All of a sudden from, you know, the other room, you hear this. Dad! Dad! Yeah, what do you want? I need water. Go to bed. You know, like, there's always this perfect conversation. I remember the first time this happened when our firstborn started asking for water at bedtime. I had flashbacks to when I was a kid, and I would do the same thing to my dad. Dad, I didn't want to get up, right? I wanted the water brought to me. How many of you remember that moment? You wanted the water to be brought to you. Thirst shows up again and again in our lives. A number of years ago when Amber and we were living in Issaquah, it was the middle of the summer, it was a hot day, and I decided to go for a jog. And I remember getting back from the run, and my wife was so sweet, she had put together this cup of ice water for me. It was one of those big, clear Starbucks hard plastic cups with the green straws in it. And as I grab a hold of this cup full of ice water, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be the refreshing that I need. I'm so thirsty right now. I mean, every cell in my body felt parched. And as I put the straw to my mouth, I began to think about how much this is going to meet the thirst. And as I began to draw the water through that straw, something else came through the straw. And I realized my children must have put something in the straw. And in that moment, how many know what I was expecting to be refreshing did not do the trick? I was not refreshed. In fact, I was not pleased at all. I was expecting this kind of refreshing ice cold water. And friends, it was anything but that. See, the reality in our lives, we can have this tendency as humans to look to things to provide the refreshing that we desire. But how often have you in your life or me in my life, I've experienced moments where I thought something would do the trick. I thought something would meet the need, only to find out it's a little bit like the mystery coming out of the straw. It was not what you expected. Here's what's interesting about the area of thirst in our lives. You can try to meet the thirst, but how many know if you were thirsty today, you get enough to drink today, tomorrow, guess what you're going to be? Thirsty. You can convince yourself, man, if I just have this one meal, I will be satisfied. And how many know you're satisfied for about the next 72 minutes? And then you're like, where's the snack? We have this tendency to go from thirst to thinking that we've filled the thirst to now being thirsty again. It's this ongoing cycle in our lives as humans. And today I want us to consider the question, where is it that we go to meet the thirsty needs of our soul? Because the reality is maybe there's some you walk through the door today and there's a thirst inside of your heart. There's a desire, there's something that you're longing for, but no matter how hard you try, no matter where you look, it's like that need is never fully met. Where is it that you look to fill those thirsty needs? I love the words of Jesus in John chapter 7. I want us to look together. John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. It's describing a period where Jesus has been at the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast had been going on now, and this is the seventh day of the feast. How many know that's a long party? That's a good feast to be at. And the people, they're there to worship God. They've come on pilgrimage. They're gathered around the temple. And it says this, that on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, anyone, can you say anyone? By the way, I did some research this week on that word. You want to know what that means in the original language? Anyone. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Now let me pause there for a moment. We read these words and we go, oh, that's so great that Jesus stands up and makes that declaration. But what you need to understand, for the last 7 days, the priests have gone through this ritual with all of the worshipers watching. The priests would grab this gold pitcher. They would journey down to the pool of Siloam in Jerusalem. And they would dip this pitcher into the water. And they would make this journey back up towards the temple as people are worshiping God and praising God. In fact, the priests would begin to sing the Hallel, which is Psalms 113 to 118. And they would come to the base of the altar and they would take this pitcher of water and they would throw the water out at the base of the altar. They would do this once a day, every day of the feast. And the significance for the people who are watching and worshiping, they understood it was a reminder of how their God provided water for their ancestors from the rock. That God was the one who met the thirsty need of their ancestors, but also it was a prophetic declaration that someday the Messiah, when he comes, he would be the source of life-giving water to the people of God. And it's in that place that Jesus, he stands up and he steps forward and he makes this declaration. Hey, if anyone is thirsty... Notice, it doesn't say that Jesus said to the couple of guys next to him, hey, if you're thirsty, I got some water that I can tell you about. Jesus stands up. Think about it. The priests have gone through this journey. They're carrying this gold pitcher. There's worshipers wall to wall going crazy. They're throwing this water out. And as that's happening, Jesus steps forward in the midst of the crowd and says, hey, if you're thirsty, don't look there. I'm right here. If anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. And here's why. If you believe in me, I will satisfy you. In fact, the scriptures go on and Jesus says that anyone who comes to me, rivers of living water will be available to you from me. How do we know that? It goes on in verse 39. It says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Think about how significant that promise is. For you and I, when is our thirst ever done? When is enough ever truly enough in our lives? Jesus, he understands our neediness. He understands our humanity. And maybe me saying neediness, that maybe rubs you the wrong way. Can I tell you though? The reality is all of us have this unlimited need in our lives. We maybe feel like, well, if I just have this meal, it'll be enough. But guess what? You're going to need something tomorrow. Well, if I just purchase this item, it will be enough. How many know you're going to be, you'll purchase that item and about 3 days later, you'll want the newer one. It's the condition that we live in. It's the reality of who we are. You see, Jesus makes this declaration, and yet here's what I want us to understand. That idea of our need in our humanity is not a bad thing. Why? Because I believe that neediness in our hearts is designed to draw us to the true source. The neediness that we have, it's designed to point us to the fulfiller of that need. And yet often we settle for secondary things. Often we settle for lesser things. And here's the point today. The point is the only solution to our unlimited neediness is an unlimited Savior. Can I tell you, Jesus has more than enough. Just like he stood that day and said, hey, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Today, I believe Jesus is making that same declaration to you and I who are in the room or you who are watching online. Jesus is the one who can be your source. He's the one who can be your sustainer. Anyone who's thirsty can come to him. I love the quote by St. Augustine. He made this statement, "The soul is never satisfied until it finds its rest in God." Isn't that the truth? We look to so many things. We're convinced if I just had this, if I just did this, if I just made this amount of money, then I'll be content. And what happens? The moment you convince yourself that, the moment that you begin to make that, all of a sudden you realize, well, if I just made this much, that's what I meant. Some of us, we convince ourselves, if I just had that relationship, everything would be good. And then we get into that relationship and realize, oh, you're human just like me. Some of us were convinced, man, if I just had the right word of encouragement from that individual, and then finally they get around and they give us that word of affirmation, we're like, well, if you would have given that 3 days ago, I sure would have been a lot more happy. You know? The need in our lives, friends, is unlimited, but the good news is we have an unlimited Savior. His name is Jesus. He knows how to meet that need. Listen, today I want to focus in on three questions that I want us to consider. But before we do that, I want to prepare us because in a few minutes, we're actually going to go back into a time of worship. Why? Because I believe that there's some, you've walked through these doors and maybe you, in your heart, in your life today, you feel thirsty. There's something that you're longing for. There's something more that you believe is out there, but for whatever reason, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, it seems like that thirst is never met. Can I tell you, we're going to take time today and allow Jesus to be Jesus and do what he does best. Show up and meet the thirsty needs of our hearts and our lives. But before we get there, let's talk about these three questions. The first question is this: what is the thirst that drives me? I want you to consider that for a moment. What is the thirst that actually drives my life? Think for a moment. Is desire ever done? The answer is no. We never stop desiring something. We never stop wanting something. We never stop needing something. What is the driving thirst in your life? For some, it's the drive towards power. We tell ourselves, man, if I was just in control, if I could be more in control of my friendships, if I could be more in control of my health, if I could be more in control of my financial realities, then I would be satisfied. But it's interesting, you talk to the people who go on the journey and the quest for power, no matter how much they get, it never seems to be enough. Maybe it's not power, maybe it's affirmation. Maybe it's approval from people. Maybe it is that next relational connection. We convince ourselves, man, if I just had the right person, then I would be satisfied. Can I tell you, if you get two incomplete people together, that doesn't lead to health. The key to healthy relationships is making sure each of you are complete in who you are in Christ ahead of time. Then you have the freedom to give wholly to each other. But listen, there's a thirst in our lives, isn't there? We convince ourselves, if I just have this, what is that need in your life that is driving you? For some of us, it's actually the pursuit of religion. We say, if I can just do enough for God, then maybe I'll have his favor. Maybe I'll have his approval. And so we get this picture that serving Jesus is about this transaction. So we have this need to somehow win the approval of God. Can I tell you, if you want the approval of Jesus, all you have to do is look at the cross. It's the greatest declaration that God looks at you and says, I love you. I moved towards you before you ever took a step in my direction. What is the need that drives you? That's the first question. Here's the second question, though. What is the source that I look to? See, many of us, we can maybe recognize the needs that are driving us, but what is it that we lock our eyes on that says, that's the source. That's the fulfillment. That's the thing that I'm looking to. You see, some of us, we look towards limited things. Here's the problem. If we think a limited source is going to satisfy, we're kidding ourselves. Yet what do? We continue to believe, if I just had that. What's interesting, it's not just us. In fact, this has been going on for a long time. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, he prophesies and he writes these words as God is speaking to his people. Jeremiah chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 13. This is God speaking about the people of Israel. He says, for my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of what? Living water. The fountain of what? Living water. God said, my people, they've done a couple of things wrong. They've abandoned me, and I'm the very source. I am the life-giving water myself. And not only have they abandoned me, listen to what else, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can't hold water at all. Does this sound familiar to any of us? Where we convince ourselves, listen, my job, I need to somehow dig a cistern for myself. I have to somehow store up and find the satisfaction that I need. But the problem is, the more that we do that in life, it doesn't last, does it? Maybe we begin to fill it up with stuff, but how quickly does that begin to drain? How many times have we convinced ourselves, listen, I'm back at church. God, you better fill me up because I'll be back in 7 days, maybe 14 days. And yet the problem is, friends, we're cracked, flawed people. We have a tendency to leak. We can't withhold stuff. And the reality is, we're not called to just dig cisterns to supply for ourselves. We're called to get connected to the source. Not settle for the limited, but tap into the unlimited. What is the source that you look to? What is the source that I look to? You see, often we look to things that will never be enough. They're not designed to be enough. And yet, what do? We get busy digging these cisterns. We get digging these places that we try to store up enough to be our own source. We're not called to be our own source, though. We're not called to be our own source. Instead of looking to what's limited, here's the good news. We have the opportunity to look and be satisfied by what's unlimited, which is Jesus. You see, only in Jesus do we find unlimited hope, unlimited grace, unlimited affection, unlimited love, unlimited approval. We look to him, and Jesus is that source. He's saying, hey, to a thirsty world, why don't you come to me? Stop trying to dig cisterns that will never hold what you're looking for them to hold. Stop looking to all these things that will never fully satisfy. If you're thirsty, come to me. And here's what you need to know. From me, I'm going to pour out a river of living water. That is the Holy Spirit. and He will satisfy you. He will saturate you. He will sustain you. What is the source that I look to? See, we need to understand, we're not called to be the source. Anybody else beside me ever got that mixed up? We're not called to be the source. We're called to look to Him to be the source in our lives. We tap in to who He is and what He makes available to us. Here's the third question. Third question is this: what is flowing out of my life? Again, Jesus, He says these words in John 7. He says, if anyone is thirsty, they may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. Did you know, friend, that you have access to the Holy Spirit? That the very refreshing river that Jesus wants to send to you, it doesn't just stop with us. We don't just become a cistern, but we become a conduit to a thirsty world. Rivers of living water. We're not called just to be a cistern for ourselves. We're called to be a conduit for others. And yet, here's the tension. Here's the reality. We have access to an unlimited river. But we live often with a theology that looks a little bit like this. God, if you could just get me to Tuesday, that'd be great. If you could just get me to Wednesday, if you could just help me out. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to do that. You never know where it's going to go off. See, some of us, we have access to an unlimited God, but we're living out a squirt gun theology. Where we say, God, I don't know if I have, I don't know if I can really make it. I just hope you have enough for me. Think about it. Some of us, we wonder why we don't make the impact that we're called to make. And maybe it's because we don't realize what's actually available to us. Jesus didn't say, come to me and drink, and there will be a 2-liter bottle to sustain you for the rest of your life. No, he says, rivers. Rivers of living water. Listen, my family and I, we were in Wenatchee this last week. I was looking at the Columbia. You want to know what I didn't see the Columbia doing? Stressing. What was it doing? It was flowing, and everywhere it flowed, it brought life to what it touched. And yet some of us were content just going, I hope I have enough. Jesus is really big. Others of us, though, we don't have like a squirt gun theology. Some of us were convinced, okay, I have rivers of living water, and I'm going to make a difference in the world around me. So I'm going to show you the love of Jesus through this Facebook post right now. And we're busy chucking water balloons at a world that's thirsty and desperate. You know it's hard to drink from water balloons when they're hitting you? Friends, we're called to be a source to a thirsty world. We're called to be a source to a thirsty city. Jesus wants to flow in us so that he can flow through us. But some of us were convinced, I don't know if I have enough. Others of us were like, yeah, I'll be a source. I have some of this right now. But everywhere where a river flows, listen, it brings life to what it touches. I was looking at the Columbia. You're in the midst of a desert land, and yet everything along the banks of the river is green and growing and flourishing. Can I ask, is what coming out of you, is that bringing life? Is it flourishing? Is it transforming the environment? Does the landscape look different wherever you show up? Because friends, we have a thirst, but we have a God who knows how to meet our thirst. And we live in a city, we live in a world full of thirsty hearts that desire to encounter a true change. And that change is only available when we connect to the source. His name is Jesus. He has more than enough. You see, the good news, friends, when we connect to Jesus, we find the satisfaction we need, yes. But we also help become a source to a thirsty world around us. And so today, can I invite you to stand to your feet? We're going to take some time in worship. And listen, all weekend long, we've been praying, we've been believing for hearts that are thirsty. Maybe today you feel dry. Can I tell you, you don't have to walk out those doors the same way you came in. Jesus is here. He desires to meet with you. Friends, he says these words, and they're just as true today as they were that day that he stood in the temple. Anyone who's thirsty, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And the beautiful thing is that nonstop, consistent flow of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, it's available to each and every one of us. Jesus said this in John 14, it's to your benefit that I go. Why? So that the Holy Spirit will come. The Spirit dwells in the heart of everyone who believes. And so today, if you're ready for God to refresh you, if you're looking for a new work, listen, God is in this place. He desires to touch you. I'm going to ask that some of our pastors would join me up front, and we're going to begin to sing some songs today. We're going to take some time just to wait on the Lord. And I know for some of us, man, maybe this is a new thing. We're kind of looking around going, wait, what's going on? We usually are dismissed after this. There's something about longing, waiting, seeing. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How long has it been since you've tasted? How long has it been since you've seen? Allow him to touch that deepest need in your life. And listen, today, maybe you're in a really dry place. I want to encourage you, step out from where you are. Come find one of the prayer team members. I'll be down here. We want to pray for you. We want to go after what God has for us. As the deer pants for streams of water, God, may it be so at Life Center. May our souls long for you. God, we don't want to just come and do church. God, we're called to be the church. And yet, Lord, we realize we can't do it disconnected from you. We need you to be the source. God, there's an unlimited need in our lives, but we know, Jesus, you're our unlimited Savior. So Holy Spirit, would you pour out in this place? God, would you move in a fresh way, however you want, Lord, however you want.